Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Touchline Podcast. We're doing episode 28 today. We got Brett here. What's up, Brett?
Hello.
And Jared's joining us again. What's up, Jared?
What's up, guys?
Oh yeah. The fearsome, three amigos, I guess. I don't know.
We're the three in the 4-3-3.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
Down with the 4-3-3. You know me.
That's terrible. All right. So today on the pod, we're going to talk about the last two games since Brett was unavailable last week, so we didn't do a pod. So we got to talk about Seattle and the Portland game. We'll preview Sporting Kansas City and maybe talk a little bit about the international break this week, which is why we don't have a game. So first, let's talk about the home opener for the MLS season against Seattle. The good guys came out victorious, as Jared predicted, right?
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1.
Exactly. Predicted.
2-1, good guys.
And I also want to say that last week I predicted after the ejection, I said we're going to die, and you know we kind of did because we ended up drawing when we were up again. Yeah.
Well, you need to use your powers for good, not evil.
Yeah, I tried to talk you off the cliff.
Yeah, you did, but I was right.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that one.
From now on, Jared, you're only allowed to predict 3-0 score lines.
That would be nice, because that's a free haircut, right?
Is that what they do now? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they do if we're at home, yeah.
I wish they went back to the croissant, which is, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you remember that. They used to be able to go to Burger King and get a free croissant sandwich.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet.
Has a croissant sandwich anymore. I think yeah. Burger King kind of fallen off a cliff, so that's probably why they're not a sponsor.
I only ever got them because of that, so. I mean, they're delicious. I just would never, you know, go out of my way to.
Right, to go to Burger King. Right.
So, the Seattle game, I don't think, as part of your 2-1 prediction, you would have went with a Sonny goal and an Olave goal, especially off a set piece, because we don't score set piece goals.
Well, hey, this year is different, though, right? I mean, like I told you guys, I was there with the three French dudes, two of which were more soccer guys, and the other guys not as much a soccer guy. He loved the basketball game, actually, a lot more. He's like, basketball is so much better than soccer. Anyways, so they were like, well, it's not really, it doesn't seem like a technical game, but I'm actually, one of them that had never seen an MLS game before said he was actually pretty impressed with, you know, how well they played and whatnot, even though it wasn't very, you know, it was really technical, but let's be honest, even the French league isn't as technical as it used to be because most of the talent went to two places, Paris Saint-Germain and England and the Premier League and, you know, the Spanish league. Those are really the top leagues now.
Yeah, leagues tend to die when somebody else finds out that they have a whole lot of money, like we're seeing with China buying out a lot of players right now. So
yeah, I was kind of interested when I started hearing about China just offering tons of money to. Didn't they buy Rooney or something? Wayne Rooney?
Not Rooney. They bought Ramirez from Chelsea.
Ramirez, okay.
Yeah.
We can't get lucky enough to sell Rooney.
You know, the funny thing, when I watch the French league, I don't watch a ton of it, and usually when it's on, it's because PSG is on. But, it does seem like the league is a lot more, how do I explain it?
It's super top heavy.
It's what?
It's super top heavy. You've got three teams that are worth a darn right now, which is kind of weird because it used to be, there was three teams, but it was different teams. It was always Paris was usually and now they're kind of dominant. Lyon they had this great team like from 2008, to like 3 or 4 years ago, they were just an incredible team. That was the team that kind of birthed, the striker in Madrid. What's his freak?
Benzema.
Yeah, Karim Benzema. And then kind of, you know, Paris kind of took over recently. And Olympique Marseille used to be really good. It was a top-notch team. And they've kind of fallen off a cliff, too. And I honestly don't understand why. I don't know what happened with the ownership there. I have a buddy who could probably tell me all about it, because when his hometown club folded, that's kind of where his loyalty went, because he's a Southerner. So.
Right. It just seems like when I watch it, like you said, it's not very technical, but it does seem like it's kind of hectic a little bit. You know, you get a lot of guys that kind of run end line to end line. And I don't know, then it turns over and heads back to the other end.
But they have a lot of time, a hard time scoring on each other because, you know, they're not as technically sound as they used to be.
Yeah.
So it's Chivas versus Chivas.
Chivas versus Chivas.
They keep the ball in play more than Chivas did. Zing. Rip. All right. Rip Chivas. So back to Seattle.
Yeah, we're not. RIP Chivas, yeah.
Chivas. So. Seattle, I thought we actually did a really good job in the game. Seattle scored first, but then, you know, we came back well. Well, I guess I should say we did well. The game was kind of choppy, but we did a good job kind of keeping Seattle out of any rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, because they did have some instances where they had a lot of shots, like kind of they'd have the ball over on our side of the field. And they'd get like three or four different tries at us. But, you know, Raimondo held up and everything. I was actually over by where we scored the initial goal, you know, before they switched sides.
Down on the south end?
Yeah, down on the south end, exactly. Where I guess I noticed that. It's kind of interesting because it seems like there's a different type of fans in the near the goals than mm-hmm. there are in the field. It's interesting because it seemed like, and it's like everybody's kind of sectioned off. And one thing that the French fans, one of them remarked, he said, usually everybody would try to be chanting the same thing, but here it's like everybody's got their own little group and they're all doing their own little thing, their own little chants. So besides when we all sing the, you know, believe.
That's one of the big problems with the stadium, and, you know, multiple times a year it seems like people complain enough, you know, talking about how the supporters groups need to all unify, but for whatever reason, some of the leaders of the supporters groups, they don't get along, I guess, so that prevents them from working together, because I agree, like, the South End, the Salt City United will be chanting one thing in the section... what is the section on the west side? Section 31? 30?
I think it's 32.
Those guys, you know, they're chanting something else, and then section 26 is doing their own thing, and it's just like, come on, guys. The drummers even behind Salt City, they're doing something totally different.
Yeah, totally, and that's exactly what they were kind of hearing. That was the biggest mismatch, was the drummers not matching up with what the people were doing.
Yeah.
You know, when I was actually at the Tigres game, something that was impressive about their fans, I mean, their fans had, like, their banners saying from, like, where they were from and everything, and they were all over Mexico and all over America, but they were all, that entire section was unison, the way that they chanted, and it was kind of cool to see. It'd be nice if we could figure out how to get that together.
Yeah, and I just don't know if that's just kind of the way American fans are in general. Or because people complain, people say, oh, this isn't the old Delta Center anymore, you know. It's not like the old Delta Center, blah, 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 about jazz games, too. So I don't know if it's kind of part of the same thing, that our sports culture has changed. Or, I mean, because at some jazz games, you have people, when they're kind of riling on, or not riling, but they're trying to pump up the Aussies, or like Joe Ingles, they'll be like, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. And that kind of was a thing for a while, but it seemed like it disappeared.
You know, though, I do think, I mean, I haven't been to a lot of the different MLS stadiums, but I do think that RSL specifically has a lot more splintered supporters groups than typical. I mean, I've only been to the LA games away, and you certainly, at LA for sure, you don't have, I mean, you have the one end where their supporter groups are, and the rest of the stadium is, they're just fans, and they just kind of follow along with whatever the supporters are doing. You don't have three or four different groups spread throughout the stadium doing whatever the crap they want. So, you know, I certainly Seattle and Portland are the same way, where, you know, they have the supporter group.
Right.
And I don't know why, you know, specifically La Barra Real and Salt City, they don't get along at all. I can't figure out why they can't play in the same sandbox.
Yeah. Well, the ones named Salt City, they're probably just salty, you know, right?
I know that's also why the group Section 32 or 31, 30, whatever it is over there, that's why they moved over there, is because they got tired of the Salt City guys and, you know, wanted to kind of do their own thing. So they all moved, this big group of them, over to this other section. And it's just too bad. Maybe this fan relations group or whatever that they started will help everyone play together.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, this is something I kind of heard about the team before I'd ever really been to a game, but they said that there was certain lyrics, or there was a song or a chant that we did that was really supposedly inappropriate, quote unquote. And so they kind of stymied that. And I heard that kind of became part of the thing as to why a lot of the groups splintered, or I don't know.
I don't think that's why they splintered. It was they had the YSA chant, you know, the "you suck," when the goalie would kick it. And that was a big thing through MLS and league-wide that they were cracking down on, and RSL cracked down on it. You know, so
we kind of pushed back.
Yeah. It's funny. At the beginning of the game, a lot of times you won't hear it, or they'll just say "you suck" or something. But then if the game goes on and the fans start getting restless, then it starts to come back out. It's pretty funny. But, you know, they let Portland and Seattle do their chant that has the F word in it that you can hear pretty clearly. So I don't know why they don't crack down on that. But anyway, you got any thoughts, Brett, on the Seattle game?
I like how I can make fun of Olave for 85 minutes straight, and then he will get you a game winner.
Yeah, that header was pretty great, huh?
Yeah,
and I think the biggest thing from that we could take away from it is the fact that the ref let that goal go on. Because normally, I mean, even though he played position right and he played the game right and he, you know, he played the ball and didn't play to interfere the goalie, most refs would have whistled that dead. And so I like how they turned around and allowed that to just go.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know if you saw Pro's website. They're, you know, they do review every week of at least one call, you know, kind of talk about what the ref did right or wrong. And they did that call and, you know, praised. Who was the ref? It was I don't remember. Anyway, they praised him for being in the right position to see that, you know, Olave didn't didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Nice. So. It was nice to...
Something I noticed, because I was saying to my friend at the game, I'm like, he's old, man, he's old, you know, this, that, the other thing. And then he's like, did you see how much elevation he got on that? He can still jump for being an old man. And it's true. He leapt up there and it was way higher than the other guy.
But the goalie didn't really jump, which is sad.
Well, I guess it's, yeah.
But no, I mean, Olave did get up there for sure. So, well, yeah, so, I mean, that was good to get the 3 points at home. Then we went up to Portland and started out positive, right? We started out with the goal, Plata.
Yeah. Plata's a nice little free kick that nobody expected.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I love the free kicks that are kind of in that distance where you hit it to where the goalie is, because I think it's they always are like cheating over to where the wall is, and if you hit it just right, then the goalie's wrong-footed and screwed.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, I think it's awesome that the team now has a guy like Plata who can take free kicks and Brito who can take corners, and that lets you get, you know, a playmaker like Javi more into the mix on the rebounds and stuff like that.
Well, that added uncertainty because, I mean, the whole thing was Javi ran over the ball first and everyone just assumes that he's going to take it, right?
Yeah, because we've built this reputation of Javi's always going to be the one to take everything.
Yeah, that's
pretty true. I think that's why a lot of folks love Javi, because they're like, oh, Javi's going to score. Because he's the only one who ever did.
Yeah, but I love that, you know, they're starting to break it up a little bit and let Plata do some of it and Burrito do some of it.
Yeah.
I wonder how good Burrito does on his free kicks, because we haven't seen him do any of them, but I bet you he's pretty solid.
I would think so. Yeah, that's something I kind of mentioned in the write-up I did of the game, was that it feels like the offense now has the ability to get different looks. You know, they can mix it up. Like I said, we don't have to be this team that's just like, they know what we're going to do, so they're just going to try to stop that. It's kind of nice to have a varied offense.
For sure.
It was very nice.
So we go up 1-0, and then Beckerman makes a bad decision to go in on Audie and gets a red card. You know, I thought we did pretty well through the rest of the half and the beginning of the second half playing down a man. I mean, Portland definitely had more of the ball, but for the most part, I don't think we were under too much duress.
What channel was that game on? Because I'll be honest, I really didn't catch much of it.
It's on KMYU, right?
Yes, 2.2 if you have over the air.
See, that's the thing. I used to get 2.2, but you know Comcast doesn't give you 2.2, so I got to get an antenna. And well, where I live now, we only have ancient TVs, so.
I don't know. Comcast should offer it on a different channel. I mean, DirecTV has it on channel 12.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what it is on Comcast.
Comcast is 643.
643? Oh, cool. I'll pull it up right now so I can make sure to watch next time.
Yeah. Yes. A good job. I mean, we scored the second goal, man down, Jura. What's cool about Jura is, you know, he not only bodies Borchers off the ball, but then he just outruns Borchers, you know, on a breakaway.
And you found out how fast Jura really is.
Yeah.
When he wants to run, he can run.
Yeah, I mean, Borchers was just helpless, like, once Jura kind of got in front of him, right?
Yep.
And slots at home coolly, so that was pretty sweet.
And we also learned that we can actually score a goal without Plata touching the ball.
That's right. And so, you know, you're up 2-0, you're down a man, but at that point I'm thinking, hey, we got a really good chance here of winning this game, right?
Yep.
And then they pulled one back off of, well, I think it was off a set piece, wasn't it? Bouncing around in the box?
Yes. There's like very poor clearance.
Yeah. And I still argue. I mean, so I was arguing that maybe it wasn't a set piece. I think it was just a cross. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was arguing that Nat Borchers was offside when he bodied up against Raimondo. And somebody was trying to tell me that because it took a deflection on the cross, that means Borchers isn't offside. And I don't agree with that.
Huh.
But I would like to have someone who's actually like a referee or whatever, or maybe Dunny. I wish he would have done that on instant replay, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Do you guys love wing defense or what? I mean, just like, oh my goodness. He's just.
Chris Winger. Defense? Winger?
Chris Winger. Yeah.
Winger does. When he was in New York, he didn't look anything like he was for RSL before he went there, and which was really weird because he had Jason Christ there.
It's, you know, Jason Christ's fault.
Yeah, it's Jason essentially went out and got him in the draft, and he didn't play anything like it. Now that he's come back, he's kind of stepped in, and he looks like Winger before he went to New York. It's kind of nice. I mean, you're just waiting for it to break down because you know, he's older and stuff like that.
He's old.
Yeah.
The thing about Winger is he's got a pretty uncanny ability to be in the right place at the right time in the box to you know, clear a ball or block a shot or something. He's slow, so a lot of times he gets beat by wingers, you know,
yeah.
by forwards, you know. But thus far, like when we played Seattle, he had Jordan Morris, I think. Mm-hmm. You have Jordan Morris on his side?
I believe he did.
And, you know, Jordan didn't do anything. But, you know, I remember back in the day, he used to have pretty epic battles with, like, Kai Kamara and stuff, you know, just trying to not get burned by him over and over. But he is really solid.
He used to be what Beltran is now. Whereas Tony's not the fastest guy out there in anything, but he makes the right decisions to where he's not going to let anybody just beat him.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Tony's probably he's a better defender than Winger ever was, and he's better, like, one-on-one defender, but they both are really good at covering space and reading the game and all of that.
Just making the right decision overall.
Sure. I mean, and Winger is certainly limited going forward offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of his one downside. But, no, I mean, I think he's played really well. I've been pleasantly surprised.
I've liked him. He's looked good.
So the Portland game, you know, after we're up 2-0, they pulled one back, and then Olave and Adi kind of get into it a little bit off the ball, and Olave catches Adi in the face, gets a red card and a penalty, so they tie up the game off of that, and we have to hold on with 9 guys for the rest of the game, which... Mm-hmm. You know, we did a good job with. So getting out of there with a point at that point was, you know, only positive, but it was disappointing that we were up 2-0 and then ended up getting a draw.
Yep.
Yeah, unless we're up 3-0, I don't think our leads are ever safe now.
Well, they always say a 2-0 lead's the most dangerous lead.
Yeah, that's true.
Because all it is one more goal. I mean, if they score on you and you're up 2-0, next thing you know, you know, they just realize, wait, we're down one, and they just change momentum their way. So,
yeah,
totally. I do think if we would have stayed 11, I think we would have seen the game out. And I think even if Olave's second red card, if it wouldn't have been a penalty, I think there's still a pretty good chance that, you know, we hold them.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure would have been pretty immense, right, for the last 10 minutes of the game or whatever, but. Yeah. I think the fact that they equalized off of the red card just, you know, makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely swung the game their way. And I'm glad we held on for the, you know, for the tie. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hostile environment like that where they've got really good fans, you know, and they've got, you know, one of our ex guys who we all still love.
Mr. Borcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Krabovoy even played a bit.
Old Nanny
Ice. His glorious hair.
Yeah, Sonny had a good nutmeg on Ned that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They posted on Twitter in slow motion. But yeah, and then at the end of the game, if you guys haven't heard, I know Brett and Jared, you guys heard because we were talking about it earlier, but Burrito had a pretty nasty challenge on Nagby. Got him a yellow card, but then he got suspended after the game for supporting Kansas City, so we'll be without him too.
So no Olave, no Beckerman, no Burrito.
That is just brutal. But with the way things are going right now, I don't know. I think Jura could step up for us. I think we could still come away with a win there. But it's going to have to be a very good defensive match on our side. And mm-hmm. It's going to have to be like, it's probably going to be one of those 1-0 or 2-1 wins, you know, or a 0-0 draw.
I could honestly see a formation change going into this game.
The formation change to what?
I would probably go more of a 4-4-2.
Like a flat, like a flat 4-4-2?
Yeah, a flat, or even if they went back to the diamond for one match. I mean, so you know, Glad's going to step in for Olave, but you know, Sonny could probably set back in that Beckerman role, and you can bring out Luke and probably Jordan Allen.
You know, they talked about this a lot on Frame last night, about the diamond, because somebody called and asked about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dunny talked a lot about how playing that Beckerman role is really hard, and, you know, Sonny hasn't ever played it before.
Yeah.
And so, it's, you know, he's like, it's not something that he couldn't learn, it's just he hasn't had to learn it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they went more of a flat, I could see him maybe doing like a flat 4-4-2.
Yeah.
But I can't, I don't know, the diamond would be rough.
There's always diamonds in the rough, though.
What I think they'll do, assuming everybody else is healthy, is bringing in Glad. I would bring in Allen. So you have Sonny, Allen, Javi. And you're going to have to ask Allen or Javi to play defensively. And then Garcia, probably, on that, you know, to replace Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could bring in Allen for Burrito and bring in Luke or Sturzer for Beckerman.
Well, up top you have the choices between, and you know, tell me what you would do. If we continue going with the 4-3-3, do you bring in Olmes or do you bring in Sandoval? Or you also have two guys that haven't started for RSL yet, and Omar Holness and Emery Welshman.
Is Welshman healthy? Do we know?
I believe he is.
I mean, for sure, I would pick Garcia over Sandoval. I mean, I'd keep Ura in the middle.
Yeah.
It just depends on. I don't know. To me, I think the decision's between Olmes or Allen to replace Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Do you save Garcia to bring him off the bench as, you know, your super sub? Or do you start him from the beginning and then you really don't have anybody off the bench to change the game?
Yeah. I don't know. That's why we don't get to make these decisions.
I don't know. What do you think, Jared?
That's why we are not coaches.
I mean, we try to be.
Honestly, I'm just not that not as well versed in the game as you guys. So like, coaching decisions, like if we were talking basketball, maybe I'd be like, yeah, in this situation, I'd probably go Gobert and Lyles and put Favors on the bench and this kind of thing, that kind of thing. But when it comes to those kind of decisions with RSL and mm-hmm. just the main personnel, I don't understand the formations and everything well enough to be able to really speak to that.
I think that Kassar is kind of more conservative, and since it's a road game, I bet you he'll use Luke and Sonny together and then put Allen up the top.
I think that makes a lot of sense because he does seem a lot more conservative than Kreese was.
I got this crazy hunch he's going to go with something like a 4-5-1 and let Ura play up top and let Burrito run around in the midfield with like them. I mean, not Burrito, let Plata and Javi sit a little bit higher up than three other guys and let them be like Jordan Allen, Luke, and Sonny. I mean, he's going to do something crazy. He doesn't have the people available for that game to run a 4-3-3 successfully.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, just because of the personnel available. I mean, we're talking three men down, basically, right?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Essentially, your spine.
Yeah.
I mean, as sad as I want to put Olave on the spine, but yeah, your spine.
you're like,
No. You don't have to have strong vertebrae in your spine.
Olave is the one that's kind of, you know, he's the one that's sort of breaking down, and you know the cartilage and cushion is going, but you can't replace him yet. You just don't have the piece to go there. So you can't
have the piece. We have a piece, man. And his name is Justin Glad.
Glad. Yeah, you keep saying it. You're so glad that we've got Glad. I know. Get glad. Don't get mad, get glad. You
know? Yeah, no, when I played soccer, I was a defender. Like, uh-huh. Even when I played midfield, I was more of a defensive midfield. And everything right. I see out of Justin Glad, he makes the right decisions. I just wish we can get him some minutes. We need a 12th man on the field.
12th. You know, I mean, I think I'm in the minority, but, you know, with most fans, but I think for the most part, Olave this season so far has actually done pretty okay. He's had a couple lapses in, you know, like say the Orlando game, maybe he could have done better on those goals. The Portland red card, I almost think is more unlucky than anything because, you know, Audie kind of baits him into it and then, you know, simulates that he was shot by a sniper. And I mean, so Olave, you know, shouldn't have hit him in the face because, you know, that's a red card, but is more like, I mean, is he kind of accidental, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's going 2 feet up into somebody in the box. And, you know, I think him and Mon, for the most part, have had a pretty good partnership. You know, we haven't given up that many goals when we've had 11 guys, right?
Yeah.
So.
We can move the ball a lot better with less guys, though.
When we have less guys or when they have less guys?
When we have less guys. We can move the ball pretty well.
Up to a certain point, I guess. So, yeah, so we'll have to see. I mean, Kansas City, we got this week is off because it's international break, and then we go to Kansas City a week from Saturday. They're going to be missing there, I guess, Kyle Beckerman type, Roger Espinoza. He got a red card similar to Beckerman in their game. So they'll be down one guy.
This year, what do we see them as a team this year? Are they like a serious contender or – What do we see them as? Like, because we still hate them, obviously, because of that stupid game.
Yeah.
It's. You want to go first, Brad, or you want me to go?
You can go. You can go. I got to figure out how to word this right.
All right. I still think they'll be competitive because it seems like they're always, you know, it's kind of one of those hard-nosed teams with Peter Vermes. They lost Christian Nemeth. Who was, you know, a big part of their team last season. They brought in Brad Davis from Houston and, you know, a few other players. What's his face? I think I had Justin Mapp and a couple other guys. And I guess I'm not sure exactly how everyone's going to tie in yet this season. I haven't watched a lot of their games, mostly highlights. Uh-huh. But I mean, they're not going to be like Colorado's dumpster fire type. they're not Chivas or the Rapids or anything, but it's hard to know right now exactly how good they're going to be.
Gotcha. So they still need time to gel. So maybe we can catch them while they're kind of off, and we're going to be a little bit off because we're missing some guys, but maybe we can kind of catch them while they're still trying to gel their team.
Yeah, I mean, their first game, didn't they win? They beat Seattle in Seattle, and then they beat Vancouver at home. Beat Vancouver at home, and then they beat Toronto at home. So they're 3-0.
Oh, that's pretty good. I have a question for you guys. Does Seattle seem pretty disappointing this year? Like, they kind of seem like they aren't doing so hot, doesn't seem like.
Normally I'd say yes, but this is Seattle we're talking about, if I remember right, and I mean I'm looking it up right now. Uh-huh. Last year they went through a couple spells where they just weren't clicking. And I think that's the huge thing with Seattle is they have a lot of moving pieces there, and if they're not moving just right, that team looks like a giant mess. So I was gonna say I think they're also going through a formation change, and they're kind of trying to figure out how to live without Martins anymore.
Yeah, I think that transition away from Obafemi Martins into the 4-3-3, I mean, we saw how hard it was for RSL last year to kind of figure it out. And I think Seattle's going to go through those same kind of growing pains where they're not always exactly sure what the craft is going to do.
You know, I think the big thing that we also need to remember, though, going into this is we're still in the West. Like, as much as we hate it, we're still in the Western Conference. So we're still going to be seeing Portland and Vancouver's and LA's and Kansas City's and Dallas. We're still going to keep seeing them over and over and over, and they're still going to see each other. So there's going to be nights where everybody looks like crap.
Yeah.
So,
Jared, I want you to use your powers for good and give us a scoreline for the Kansas City game.
I think we can steal 1-0.
Ooh, I like it. I was gonna say 0-0 draw.
Nah, I think we'll get a goal that is almost too good to be true and win the game.
It'll be an Aaron Mond from midfield.
It'll be a rocket. Nick Raimondo from the goal to the goal.
That'd be awesome.
No, I really don't think that's going to happen, but I think the 1-1 or the 1-0 is very possible. We'll just have to see kind of. I mean, they are 3-0, though, so maybe I'm kind of underestimating them. Yeah. We'll see.
Brett, what say ye?
1-1. And the only reason I say that is and it goes back to his question on, you know, is Kansas City a contender? I think they are a contender this year because you still have Zusi and you still got Dwyer, and as long as you got those two running around up top, they're going to score goals. I mean, there's nothing about it. They're going to score goals.
What do you think our ceiling is this year, RSL ceiling?
Playoffs.
So we're not going to advance in the playoffs, you don't think? If we get there, we're going to get drummed out by Seattle or something. Please don't think about Seattle. Anybody, but...
I mean, if it starts right now, we'd play Dallas in the first round. But, I mean, we're only 3 games into it.
Dallas is pretty good, aren't they? They were in, like, the semis or something last year, weren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it's still early in the season. I mean, you still got teams like Vancouver and Portland who are sitting on the outside looking in, and we both know what they're both capable of. And Colorado finally has a goalkeeper now. I mean, they don't have anything in front of them, but they got a goalkeeper, and we know the difference a goalkeeper makes. And so July, you'll have a better idea of what this entire league looks like. Now, over in the East, though, that's more of a dumpster fire than anything.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of amazing how the Whitecaps used to be like a trash team? They used to be like the Impact. They used to be that bad. And now they're pretty good.
Yeah, you got to give all credit to Carl Robinson. That guy has turned that team around. He's went out and got players that plays his system, fits his style, and he's made that team look great. So, you know, good thing to him.
One last tangent.
Gotcha.
What do you think about Toronto?
As long as they got Giovinco, they're going to, and Bradley and Josie, they're going to score a lot of goals, but their defense still worries me a lot. So...
Gotcha.
I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't make the playoffs in the East, and I mean, like Brett said, with Giovinco, I mean, he's amazing. And so it kind of depends on all the rest of the team. I mean, it sounds like Will Johnson is finally starting to get back to his old self. And, you know, if they can get him, like old Will Johnson, playing with Bradley, I mean, they could be really good.
I think a lot of their issues going forward has been coaching. They don't seem to have a real knack of allowing their coaches to develop a system and implement it. They're a team that's willing to spend a lot of money, and they want results now.
Yeah, right. I think I've kind of noticed that. They might be like the Brooklyn Nets of the MLS.
Yep. Yep, they are not willing to give people time to develop and set up and implement the system and go get the players for the system. It's one of those where you get the feeling that we're going to buy these players and you got to figure out how to make them all work. So, but I hope Greg Vaney has them headed in the right direction.
Yeah. So. Well, this weekend-ish, I guess what, Thursday? Right? Friday. Friday the U.S. play, and then Tuesday I think the U.S. play. It's a home and home with Guatemala.
Both are World Cup qualifying games.
Right. Kyle Beckerman got called in, so he may get the start, at least in one of those games. Klinsmann still really likes him. So hopefully the U.S. win and Beckerman doesn't get hurt. He'll have time to rest because he can't play that weekend against Kansas City, so it doesn't matter if he plays both games or not. But I think both games will be, I think it'll be like 3-0 down there and 3-0 up here. I don't know.
Yes.
So, I don't know. You guys have anything else you want to talk about?
Let's see.
Did you hear we got some TAM money?
No.
No.
For anyways, what?
RSL got some target allocation money.
Oh. Nice. So,
for what? What did we trade?
We didn't trade anybody. Essentially what happened was we had a player, trying to remember his name. Anyways, he came up through the RSL Academy, mm-hmm. and turned down a contract offer from, I believe, us.
Oh, well, yeah.
Ben Spencer.
Signed with Toronto, Montreal, somebody?
No, he signed with the Norwegian team, and they put him out on loan. Oh. He signed with Molde, and they put him out on loan last year to in 2014 to Indy 11, and this year they sent him out to Toronto FC2, and I think Toronto likes a lot of what they're seeing, so they acquired his rights. So if he ever does sign an MLS contract, Toronto gets first pick that signing him.
Yeah, I do remember reading about that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Money.
We're still on the hunt for the center back. They interviewed Schuler on Frame yesterday. He's worked with the Monarchs, still working back to full health. It sounds like he's still quite a ways away to being back to his old self. But in the meantime, we got Justin Glad.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe Plata as our emergency center back. I'm just kidding.
How about Jura? I bet he could take out a dude or two.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I mean, yeah, I think we got plenty back there. We'll have Mond, Aquanu. Yeah, I think we have enough. I think defender-wise we could take a red card, but everywhere else we're kind of, yeah.
So. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see on Saturday. They said there'll probably be a bunch of RSL guys who start with the Monarchs for their first game because we don't have a game this week. So it'll be interesting to see who Kassar and everybody decide to send to the Monarchs to get a game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that'll help us figure out who's close or who's not, or I don't know.
Yeah. And the nice thing about it is that's the future of RSL that we're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, after Monarchs? 1 year, what would that...
Who are the Monarchs playing?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yes.
Someday I think I want to go see a Sacramento Republic game versus the Monarchs because, you know, just because of Kelsey. On Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, if there's one team that's set up in that division that could probably jump to MLS and do really good to start with, I mean, that's Sacramento. Their front office, their player decisions, their roster could probably come in and compete. They're impressive the way they've done things.
They seem to have a pretty good fan base too. I know I used to live out there and I knew a member guy that he loves soccer and he's been to several Republic games. He roots for RSL because they don't have a team out there. But he's like, oh man, if we ever get a team here, I mean, I'll still like RSL and everything, but my heart's going to be here. So I think they've got some pretty rabid fans. And if they had a place to play, I think they'd pretty much be a shoo-in to get a team. But they got to build a place to play. So.
Yep.
Yeah, the one thing hard with Sacramento is you already have San Jose right there.
Exactly.
I know they're trying to increase footprint, which is why they're looking at, you know, Minnesota and St. Louis and Miami and stuff.
Now that you bring that up, Atlanta joins next year.
So is LA too does as well.
I think they're 2018, honestly.
Oh, are they?
They're 2018. But anyways, that's going to be the end of this year. We're going to have to go through an expansion draft, so...
I don't get the second LA team thing that they want to do. I just don't get it. It's like Chivas was sucked and sucky fan base and everything like that. Why do you want to do that again?
Chivas, you can't hold it against them.
Yeah.
Chivas was ran by the Chivas Mexican side. Yeah. Like their club was making all the decisions, and they kind of just like it was more like they were putting together a Division II team. And just steal players whenever they wanted to. So, I mean, Chivas, another team from another country trying to run it was what really did them in. And then when it came down to it and we finally got it away from them, there was kind of no saving it.
So. Well, plus, they really limited the fan base because essentially, you know, it's fans in LA who also support Chivas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you're a Hispanic who roots for America or Tigres or one something like that, you can't be a Chivas fan.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chivas was they were their own worst enemy. But, you know, I think a second LA team would actually work.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they change the expansion draft rules so that you can only take one player per team because there's enough teams now where I don't think you should be able to take two. I think you just take one per team, like up to one per team, and call it good.
Yep. But, you know, it's going to be two, because that's how it is, and we'll probably lose Olave.
We'll lose two, and LA will lose zero again, and it'll just piss me off.
Well, you know how they do that, though, right? So they set it up to where you'll hear all these like trades before, like that come out right afterwards. It's because like LA will call them up and be like, "Don't take any of our players, and we'll let you have a player from this pool that we'll trade just some random draft pick for."
Right.
And so, which if it was me, I'd say screw it and start taking out guys from that.
No doubt. All right. Well, let's hope that the U.S. wins this week, and that Jared's right in his predictive skills again for the KC game, because we hate KC.
Amen to that.
So thanks for listening, everybody, to Touchline Podcast again. I'm Rich. You can get me at Twitter at @Frisbee_Rich if you have any questions or anything.
All right, Brett? This is Jared signing off. My handle is @GoTheDistance49 on Twitter. You can get at me, and remember, SKC stands for Sucky Kansas City.
Words to live by.
Very nice words to live by, even if they don't have Collins anymore. And then if you need to get me, I'm at @A24Brett and at @Touchline_TBS.
All right, well, talk to you guys later.
Yep, have a good one, guys.